Clay County, Upperman, and Pickett County all take part in the state tournament, and baseball gets started around the Upper Cumberland. This is the High School Playbook. Live here from the Murphy Center, where so far today, two of UC Sports Nation's teams have clinched bids to Friday's state tournament semifinal. First up at 11:30 this morning, it was the Clay County Bulldogs taking down Madison Magnet by a final score of 57-55. Clay jumped out to a 16-9 lead after the end of the first quarter, but a 19-10 advantage in the second quarter for Madison led to a deficit at halftime for the Bulldogs as they trailed by two. The Bulldogs outscored Madison in the third quarter 17-16 to cut the lead down in half, and then they outscored Madison 14-11 in the fourth quarter to take home the victory by a final score of 57-55. Class A Mr. Basketball finalist Grant Strong put together a game for the ages as he scored a game-high 32 points on 12 of 20 shooting from the floor with 14 rebounds, and that included 2 3-pointers and a 6-of-8 performance from the free-throw line for Grant Strong. Eli Smith added 7 points, Gunner Silk scored 6, Jeff Spivey and Keaton Arms had 5 points apiece, and John Hamilton scored 2 to close out the scoring for the Bulldogs. For Madison Magnet, Christian Ballard led the way with 19 points, and fellow Mr. Basketball finalist Walter Pegg scored 15 points, though the Bulldogs did a great job of defending him as it took him 15 shots to get there as he finished shooting 6 of 15. Again, it all equaled out to a 57-55 win for Clay County over Madison Magnet. In our second game of the night at 4 p.m., the Pickett County Bobcats made their return to the state tournament for the first time in 16 seasons and won their first game in 20 seasons over Cosby by a final score of 63-56. Pickett got out to a slow start in this one as they shot 8-0 early, but a 10-0 run gave them a 2-point lead that Cosby took right back just before the first quarter ended, and they led 11-10. Pickett outscored Cosby 22-18 in the second to take a lead into halftime by 3, and both teams tied up at 15 apiece in the third quarter to send the Bobcats into the fourth with a 3-point lead. There, they outscored Cosby 16-12, enabling them to move on to Friday's state semifinal game, where they will take on Memphis Academy of Health and Sciences. Zach Eminette put on another really good display as he scores 27 points to lead all scorers and grabbed 7 boards. Their brother Will Eminette scored 16 points with 4 3-pointers in the second half to aid the effort for the Bobcats. For Cosby, wasn't a banner day for Class A Mr. Basketball finalist Trey Johnson. He finishes with 14 points on 6 of 20 from the field, including 0 of 7 from 3. Again, Pickett County will take on Memphis Academy of Health and Sciences on Friday morning after taking down Cosby 63-56. An update from Murfreesboro. Clay County takes down Madison Magnet 57-55 to advance to the state semifinals on Friday. After the game, we got a chance to speak with head coach Rob Edwards, senior Gunner Silk, junior and juniors Jeff Spivey and Grant Strong after their performances in the game. Coach, really, really good win over a really good Madison team. I know a lot of people expected them to be probably playing on Saturday. What do you think your guys did best in this win and just taking control of this game in the fourth quarter? What do you think? What did you like about what your team did?
Well, I thought a couple things throughout the game. I thought we guarded them pretty well. I know they scored some points, but I thought we did a pretty good job guarding their key guys. And I thought that we rebounded the ball pretty well, especially in the second half. And the main thing, though, what we talked about was, you know, we turned it over a few times, and we knew we were going to against them because they're just so fast and long and quick. But we never lost our composure. You know, we never panicked. We never got mad at one another. You know, we maintained our composure and just kept playing.
Talk about guys like Gunner and Jeff. I know they scored some points here and there, but I felt they really were some of the stars in the defensive end when it came to just forcing tough shots and limiting teams to only one shot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, like I said, I thought we guarded them pretty well, considering how many scores they have. Those guys, Jeff and Gunner and Keaton and Eli and Jimmy Burchett, they all went in and guarded their guy. And that's just what we talked about for the last 2-3 days, and we've been getting ready for them. You know, we've got to guard them and not try to outscore them, not worry about that, but just worry about guarding them.
I know it obviously takes a team effort, and you mentioned someone like Eli who comes out and gets the team off to a good start, but you have to tell me about your Mr. Basketball finalist a little bit. playing one of his best games on the big stage and taking over in the fourth quarter. I know it's nothing new for you now, but does he ever do anything that does surprise you at this point?
I'm surprised when he misses a free throw, you know, because he doesn't miss very many. But he's doing exactly what we expect him to do as a Mr. Basketball finalist, and is, you know, one of the premier players in the state at any level, not just single A. But we're happy he's on our team.
All right, Gunner, after winning a very, very tough game there over Madison, first of all, talk about how good of a team that was you just beat, because obviously a lot of people had high expectations for them.
You know, that was the best defensive team we've by far played this year. You know, they like to push the tempo, and we just had to stop them in transition. And, you know, I think we did a good job. At times we gave up a couple, but we handled it late in the fourth and took care of business.
There in the second quarter, you guys obviously took a pretty big run from them, but you guys stayed composed. We've talked about this throughout the postseason, just how much more of a testament is that to this team's mentality of team can go on a big run like that, but you guys stayed composed and you got right back
in.
Yeah,
you can't let it get to your head that, oh, we're a big lead. You know, we can get comfortable. You can't get comfortable with it. You know, you got to be aware of your surroundings and, you know where the ball's at, know where the defender's at.
So talk about this as a senior, man. What's this experience been like? You guys didn't get to have it last year, but what's it been like so far, man?
It's a dream come true for a senior, making the state tournament, you know, getting a chance of making it all the way to win the state championship.
All right, Jeff, so obviously I just asked Gunner, you guys just beat a really, really good Madison team. A lot of people had them going really far, man. Tell me, how'd y'all do it?
In practice, we always practice on stopping transition, and which we knew they was a lot faster than us, so we just mainly focused on keeping them in front of us and stopping the transition of their game and making it ours. So that's one reason why we ended up where we're at.
Matt, I know that everyone knows you as a shooter, and you made a really big three there in the second quarter to kind of cut into that lead to stop their run a little bit. Tell me, how good did that feel to make that shot?
It felt real great. I was a little off not playing in the gyms. It's just it's a little bit different at home, and I was shooting everything a little short, but I just came off that screen and I felt good about it, so I let loose and it went in at a big time.
You guys get to come right back here on Friday and play. You'll play another really, really good team on Friday. What do you want to see this team improve and get better at?
Well, we could really just work on the rebounding the ball a little bit more on the offensive end, and just maybe get a little faster pushing the ball before and get some easy buckets.
So, Grant, first off, I know you came out, you probably got off to a little bit slower start than you would have wanted to. Did you see a matchup advantage there in the second half that you were able to take control of?
Not really a matchup advantage. You know, I felt like, well, I guess you could say matchup advantage. You know, in the first half, I didn't shoot it very well. I had some opportunities. You know, I got good shots, just they didn't fall. You know, there in the second half, at halftime in the locker room, I really prepped myself. You know, I told myself that, you know, I'm going to play better this half. I'm going to take over this game. You know, luckily them shots started falling there in the second half.
Defensively, what made you guys successful there in that fourth? Because, again, Madison's a really, really solid team on offense, but you guys did a good job early on of really just neutralizing them and keeping them off the out of the scoreboard.
Yeah, transition, you know, they get 90% of their shots off transition. You know, we sent two get-back guys. You know, Gunner and Eli played great, both getting back there, stopping the transition. But, you know, after that, you know, we just sat down in front, made them be shooters, you know, tried to make them shooters instead of letting them get in the lane, shoot some easy shots. But, you know, we played good there in the fourth and gave up some offensive rebounds. That was really, you know, that was huge. But, you know, we're going to get back in the gym, work on it, and come back Friday.
Tell me that that last little 10-second stretch where you guys had to defend, had to rebound, had to do a little bit of everything to close this win out, man. Just how much did you like the execution of how you guys closed this game out in those last 10 seconds?
You know, I've told you it 100 times. Defense. You know, I'd rather us be on defense than us have the ball, you know, late in the game like that, 10, 12 seconds left on the clock. You know, if that game, we're up by 9 or 10 if we make some free throws. But once again, we failed to make free throws down the stretch, and, you know, we pulled another one out on the defensive end, and it's awesome to know that we can do that.
Again, just to recap the scoring, Jeff Spivey finishes with 5, Gunner Silk has 6, and Grant Strong puts together the monster double-double with 32 points and 14 rebounds to lead Clay County to victory. Again, final score here, Clay County takes down Madison Magnet 57-55. For UC Sports Nation, I'm Rusty Ellis. Pickett County takes down Cosby 63-56 for their first state tournament win in 20 years, and it's their first state tournament appearance, period, in 16. After the game, we had a chance to speak to head coach Joseph Aminette and juniors Zach and Will Aminette after the win. Coach, we just got done talking to them. Obviously, first win for Pickett County in the state tournament in 20 years. It's first appearance in 16. Just talk about this group and how hard they've worked to make all this happen.
You know, I can't say enough about this group. They're a selfless group. You know, they've really bought into the us versus us. Are we better than we were yesterday? And they just, you know, they're kind of a do-it-all. I mean, look at Caleb Lohorn. You know, Zach and Will make shots tonight. Caleb Lohorn offensive rebounds. Slade Copeland's guarding a guy that's 6 inches taller, 100 pounds heavier. And look at Hunter Wattenberger holds a Mr. Basketball candidate that's averaging 30 points a game to 6-for-20 from the floor. And I think they just do whatever it takes to win. They're a selfless group, and I think that's why we are where we are today.
Caleb's performance really stood out in terms of just the effort he provided, getting on the boards, and not letting the lack of size there nearly stop him from making an impact. How important is that to winning a state title? How important are performances like that and just crashing the glass with all that effort?
You've got to be. I've said it all year. You're either the hammer or the nail, and Caleb was the hammer tonight for us. He's got better all season long. You know, he walks out. He's a 5'9", 5'10 post player, strawberry blonde hair, and you think, oh, and this kid, he's just relentless on the boards. And he really, I mean, there was one possession. I believe he got his own rebound 3 times. And he just played fantastic for us against a guy that was almost a foot taller.
I think one moment that you really had to be here almost to see was getting John Parker Reagan out there just so he could experience this playing in a state tournament game. What does that moment mean to a kid like him? And what has he meant to this program?
I mean, John Parker, his goal has been to play on this floor and win a gold ball since he was in third grade. And a little bit of that was stolen from him with his ACL. And for me to have an opportunity as his coach to get him on the floor, to let him actually have his feet on the floor and be in the book, just I'm just so thankful that somebody that sacrificed as much as he has for our program got that opportunity.
This is a really good win for this team. It's a really good win over a really good offensive team, as you mentioned. What could this team still do better, though, on Friday when you get Memphis Academy?
You know, I think against, you know, MAHS, I think the thing is that we're really going to have to rebound. They're really, really aggressive. They're strong. You can tell they got kids that play football at a high level. And we've just got to take a notch up a little bit and compete. And we need to come out a little stronger than we did. It took us a few minutes to settle in tonight, but I think we'll be better on Friday.
All right, so Zach, tell me, man, first of all, winning a state tournament game for the first time in 20 years for Pickett, it's y'all's first trip here in 16 seasons. How much does that mean to you to be a part of the team that's done that?
Oh, it's insane. We've worked so hard for this. This is what we've been wanting to do all year. We just got to win 2 more for what the main goal is.
So tell me, man, I have to ask, just because we've seen you all year, we've seen you play, how much are you motivated? Because a lot of people really believe you should have been a Mr. Basketball finalist. How much are you motivated by that, and did that kind of drive your performance today?
It motivates me a little bit, but that's not my main. It's just won a championship for the Pickett County. We haven't won in a long time, and we've always focused this year on being a better team every day, and that's what we're working on.
So tell me, man, talk about the defense, because you guys played really good defense on them. That's a good offensive team across the floor from you guys. Trey Johnson's a really, really good player. You guys played really tough defense on him. What was the key there?
Hunter Wattenberger did a great job. He has played defense on the best player 2 games in a row, and we've played the 2 best defensive games the past 2 games, and he's been one of the main parts of it.
And talk about Caleb Lohorn as well. I feel like he's done a really good job on the boards in this postseason. You guys have obviously been without JP. Talk about his effort, man. How important is that, and how much does that go unnoticed?
First year, he came out as a six-man energy guy, and he stepped into the starting role when JP went out, and he's came in and killed it. He plays as hard as anyone on the floor, and he goes after the boards.
All right, well, so first off, tell me, what did you like most about that team's effort? That's a good team across the floor from y'all, y'all just beat. What did you like most about this team's effort?
We just never gave up. We just kept on pushing and pushing. They made a run. We made a run. We just ended up winning.
I think a lot of teams may have come out and gotten that 8-0. A lot of teams might have panicked. You guys really you stayed calm. You came out with a 10-0 run to take that lead. What was Coach telling y'all in terms of just, you know, staying calm under that pressure?
He was just telling us to relax. We're good enough. We can play with them. So we just came out and did what we do, and we ended up winning.
So tell me about your third quarter there, because you really got on fire. You knocked down a couple threes there. You knocked down another one in the fourth. Really helped kind of extend the lead there. I know everyone loves to talk about Zach, but, I mean, you've had big games in the past just as much. Talk about your game there, man. What were you most pleased with?
Most pleased that I did shoot 100% from the three-point line, and I was very pleased with my teammates. They always found me the ball. They had the confidence in me to hit it, and I just hit them tonight.
I asked Zach, I'll ask you as well, first state tournament win for Pickett in 20 years. It's your first time being here in 16. How much does it mean to you to be a part of that group that's making this history?
Oh, it's amazing. We've worked at this for 3 years, and it's great to know that everything we worked on is worked for us.
The Upperman Bees make their return to the 2021 Blue Cross State Tournament after taking down Tyner in the substate round by a final score of 61-50. The Bees make their return to the state tournament after making it there a year ago, only for it to be canceled due to COVID-19. Head coach Bobby McWilliams says at this point in the year, one thing he's really happy about is his team's defense.
Defensively, I thought we were good. I thought we really rebounded the ball well also, but I think those two things were probably our biggest positives that I took away from that game. And I thought our kids were really poised, you know, especially early in the game when it was slow tempo and we didn't become discouraged and we just kept doing our deal and I thought we were locked in and ready to play.
I feel like it's games like this where, you know, it's a big crowd, it's loud, it's a really, really good atmosphere, where it's games like this where a team's experience really shows through, and I feel like that really happened last night, especially when the lead got cut down to 5 in the fourth. Talk about your team's composure there in the fourth where Livingston made their run and your guys kind of just withstood it and ended up closing the game out.
Sure, I think that, you know, no doubt, I think that helped us. You know, these guys have been in some really good games, really tight games over the course of their career, and no doubt they were able to draw on that experience last night when we needed it, and we were able to eventually hold them off and get the win.
I feel like Colin Gore was a huge part of that in the sense that, you know, Matthew Sales, you know, scores 13 in the fourth, and he did it all very early, but it feels like, especially in the latter half of that quarter, Colin did a really good job of making his life difficult, forcing tough shots, and I feel like that's just what you would expect out of your senior point guard.
Absolutely. You know, we switched Colin off on him there late in the third, I think it was. And he's worked really hard to become a better defender and try to learn on, you know, how to play and since he's been here, and he's really became a really good defender. People he's so good on the offensive end, they don't really understand how good he can be defensively, and he showed it last night. I thought he played really, really good. You know, Matthew's not an easy matchup for anyone in a high school basketball game. He's so hard to keep the ball away from, and then when he gets it, he's so hard to defend.
And, you know, you speak defensively as well. I think that the other big part was that, you know, Matthew Sells, again, ends up with 19, and you said it, he's one of the toughest kids to stop, and he's just a really good scorer. But your team did a really good job of limiting everybody else. There wasn't anybody else that had more than 6 points, I think it was. How important was that in the game plan of, you know, Matthew Sells is going to knock down some tough shots, but we can't let anybody else beat us as well?
Well, I think in that situation you had to. You know, you can't he's going to get his, and you just hope he doesn't, you know, have a repeat of the night before or the game before. You know, but, you know, I thought that defensively, like I said, our rotations were good. We rotated good out of our double teams. We rotated good out of our help. We helped each other when we did go help. So that was just huge. But I just thought all the way around, you know, those guys that were in the game and whoever was in at that time were locked in. They understood what we were trying to get done defensively, and it paid off for us.
Talk about the atmosphere, because that was probably the best one I've seen so far, where it was a lot of your fans, a lot of Livingston fans. Everyone was loud. There were moments I feel like I couldn't hear myself think. How important is that in terms of getting the guys' energy, keeping that energy up? How important is that?
I think, obviously, both teams probably played off that energy a little bit. But for our kids, you know, and theirs too, getting an opportunity to play in front of, you know, I know it was modified fans, but still getting in play in front of what we've been used to all season, you know, that makes any kind of atmosphere seem, you know, it just seems like it's really dynamic, just because there were more people here than what we were allowing maybe before Christmas. So, but that energy is always fun. That's kind of what makes the tournament environment and atmosphere. That's what makes it so special and with basketball. And you know, I'm just glad my guys got an opportunity to experience that. And you know, being at home obviously was special to us as well. So. We really embraced that, and that's been, I feel like, a huge help to us.
Again, that was Upperman Bees head coach Bobby McWilliams as his team gets set to take on Pearl Cone in the state tournament at the Murphy Center in Murfreesboro on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. While the basketball season is about to wrap up, Baseball is getting underway, and the Upper Cumberland is abuzz with all of the positive energy for the new year on the diamond. Head coach of the Clay County Bulldogs, Lee Bowles, says his players are excited for this new year after having it taken away last year. Joining me now is Clay County Baseball coach Lee Bowles. Coach, first off, how excited are you just to get this team back on the diamond, get back on the field after how last year was canceled? How excited are you to get this team back in actual games?
It feels awesome. I mean, it was last year was disappointing just for everything the way it went on. But this year, you know, it's great to be back on the field because even just having, you know, 1 year off, there's a lot of things that as a coach, you know, from trips to the places and all this, getting everything ready, that, you know, you might have lost focus in from being time off. So it's good to get back in it, to get everything back in the swing of things and pretty much just have the boys on the field and let them play ball.
Coach, can you kind of just take me through those few months after it was announced that sports was going to be canceled? What were those next few months like for you and the team as you guys adjusted and kind of took in the news?
Well, it was devastating, you know. The boys was really amped up for last year for the season. So then when we got to word, I think got to word on the 13th of March last year, that's when it was canceled. I mean, it was devastating. You know, they was just like, they was crushed, especially the seniors, because that was the last time for them. So, but, you know, they still communicate with us a lot. You know, they still come to the ball games, check us out this year. So they've been a great asset just coming and watching this time.
When you look at how this roster is currently constructed, Coach, who are some of the players that people should be keeping an eye on in terms of this? These are going to be the guys that are going to be the heavy hitters. These are going to be your star pitchers. Who are going to be some of your major players that people should keep an eye on this year?
Oh, man, the team is pretty good. You know, we've actually got a lot of good players on this team. We're still a young team. You know, we've only got one senior. Jacob Daniels is the only senior we got, but we got some juniors, and we got some sophomores and a couple freshmen. On the junior side, you know, we got Jeff Spivey, Kobe Bowles, Ethan Spears, them boys really playing some ball right now. The sophomore side, Levi Garrett, Alec Kerr, Aiden Smith, Sawyer Kerr, just several on the whole team. It's really, really producing right now, doing, you know, playing some good ball.
Coach, you've mentioned this being a young team in the past and how last year your team was hampered by the fact they weren't able to play because they weren't able to gain that experience. Does the casual observer kind of understand, do you think, like how important those reps are in terms of a team growing and developing?
Oh, man, just work hard. You know, we got to work hard and we got to work hard and have fun. You know, that's what we got to do because, you know, last year's opportunity got to not have an opportunity. It makes you miss this game. This is a fun game, and it's, you know, it's great to be outdoors playing this game. You know, it's America's favorite pastime. So I want the boys to work hard, focus on mistakes. Us as coaches focus on mistakes and just have fun with it.
Joining me now is White County Baseball head coach Sean Floyd. Coach, first up, I have to ask, how has it been just to be back on the diamond, back at practice with your guys after how everything ended up playing out last year?
Oh, man, it feels great. We're so thankful and blessed that we're able to get back out on the field and be around one another and play this game that we all love so much, man.
What was that time during the pandemic like where you guys weren't able to play? Obviously, everything got canceled. What were those first kind of few months of the pandemic like for you?
Well, I'm not going to lie. It was a little depressing. We last year especially was tough for us. I mean, it was going to be a rebuilding year for us. We were extremely young, only had two seniors, and both of those seniors unfortunately had not played at all, and we're going to get a chance to start for us and you know, got 1 week of games in and sit down. So, you know, felt awful for them. Had such a great group of guys and same this year, you know, that love dearly and you know, were so much fun to be around. And so it was a little depressing, man. It, you know, we as a team, we tried to stay together. We tried to communicate once a week. You know, we would Zoom call with each other once a week and, you know, just kind of talk and try to be an encouragement to one another to keep working and keep ourselves ready just in case it got lifted. And as things continue to progress and realize we weren't going to be coming back, you know, those talks turned more toward hey, we got to prepare for next season, and we got to make sure that we do everything right to, you know, keep our, you know, hopes alive for the next year. So
speaking of this year, talk to me about some of the guys you've got coming back. Who are some guys you're expecting to play major roles on this team this year?
Well, you know, once again, you know, with the way things went last year, we were such a young team last year, inexperienced. We didn't get to gain any of those experience. So it's like I say, we're no longer young, we're just inexperienced. And so, you know, some of the guys that we're really going to, you know, rely heavily upon this season is obviously Tucker Allen. He's a Motlow signee. He's going down there as a two-way guy. He's going to be the ace of our staff, and, you know, he's going to be kind of, you know, he's our captain, and or one of our captains, and he's going to lead us, you know, on the field, you know, play shortstop for us, you know, hit in the middle of the lineup for us. I mean, he's just kind of our do-it-all guy. But we're expecting big things out of Tucker. DJ Paul is another young man that, you know, we're expecting, you know, big things from. I mean, he anchors us in center field. I mean, unbelievable athlete, can go get it, you know, anywhere it's hit. And, you know, he works hard and, you know, out there. And then, you know, he's also going to pitch for us. You know, Dylan Nelson is another guy, that big arm that, you know, we're looking to throw for us. He's kind of a jack of all trades. He can play any position on the field. Very athletic young man. You know, he's a senior, and, you know, he's going to get a chance to, you know, show what he can do this year. You know, and then, of course, Jacob Cowan is our catcher. You know, I mean, he came in last year. You know, he was a sophomore last year, junior this year. You know, and so he's going to have to step up and you know, play a big role for us because we don't have a lot of catching depth. We only have three guys on roster that have any kind of catching experience, and one of those is hasn't caught in several years, and we're just trying to get him back in there. You know, some guys that we are, you know, expecting big things out of. And then we have a multitude of other guys that, you know, role players, you know, Aiden Mullins, you know, Hayden Weatherington, you know, Logan Brown and Todd Guy and Seth Green, you know, sophomore that, you know, we're expecting big things out of, you know, Jack Guy, junior, that's going to try to anchor us at first base. I mean, you know, hopefully be a big bat in the lineup for us. And Johnny Wilkerson, a senior that, you know, is going to be, you know, kind of a relief guy for us that, you know, we hope will step up and be able to get us some, you know, quality innings throughout the season.
Is there a hope with everything that did happen last year that, you know, there's more of an appreciation for the sport these guys get to play, and there's more of a, you know, intense attitude in terms of like, hey, we've got to get better every day. We don't know when our last day is.
Yes, sir. I definitely think that comes with it. I mean, these guys, you know, and with this group, same group I had last year pretty much with the exception of, you know, adding some freshmen in there, you know, these guys are, you know, worked hard last year. They eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff, and, you know, couldn't get enough last year, but it seems to be even more intense now. You know, every day at practice, it's always, hey, coach, just one more. You know, can you hit me one more ground ball? You know, hey, coach, can I take one more in the cage? They don't want to stop. They just want more and more and more. And I think a lot of it has to go because of the way things ended last year. They know that, hey, this could be our last time to step on the field. And especially those seniors, they know how quickly it can, you know, can be shut down on them. They've seen it happen last year, and so they put a little bit more into it. I mean, they were pretty mad at me last night for canceling our game last night at the last minute. But, you know, they were like, coach, we'll play in the rain. You know, just let us play. And, you know, but, you know, I really believe that it has made a difference in their drive and determination.
Joining me now is DeKalb County softball head coach, Danny Fish. Coach, first up, tell me, how excited are you to finally get back on the field with your girls? I know last year took a lot from y'all. How excited are you just to be back, though?
I mean, we can use a bunch of different analogies. You know, kid on Christmas morning, kid in the candy store. I mean, you know, we're just excited to be able to play this year. I'm excited to watch our team grow and, you know, just really anxious right now more than anything.
What are you looking at as far as who you've brought back? I know you lost a couple big seniors last year. Who are you looking at right now as you know, major players that you're bringing back?
Well, you know, I think it all starts in the circle. You know, we have senior Ellie Cripps in the circle for us. It's probably our number one out of our staff. And, you know, we're looking to see how she does this year. You know, last year she got to pitch one game. We played three games on one day and did pretty good that day. And we're hoping that, you know, her growth has been good over the past year. Maturity has, you know, gotten a lot more mature as a person. So we're hoping that that she can produce on the mound for us and just help us get people out. J.C. Hatfield is probably our best returning player. I mean, as a freshman, she hit close to 500 and six or seven home runs, drove in like 50 runs, steals bases too, plays shortstop for us. She's a big time recruit in this area. And, you know, hopefully be able to lean on her stick, you know, but, you know, we'll be starting six, seven sophomores tonight, you know, that all would have played a lot last year. So, you know, kind of interesting to see how those guys go and how they go about their business and how they do when they're playing well and how they recover when they're not playing to their potential. So a lot of different things we're looking at this year, but we're young and, you know, sky's the limit for this group, I think.
Do you think the average observer understands how much of a hit last year was in terms to, you know, teams like this one where you have young players that would have gotten development, would have gotten time, would have gotten reps? Do people understand kind of how much of a hit that was not having that?
Yes and no. I think that, you know, they look at it as, well, everybody missed a year, and that's true. But we've seen it this year in basketball from where, you know, teams got some, you know, summer took away from them, preseason play days took away from them. And, you know, traditionally out of the gate, some more experienced teams had the upper hand. You know, a little bit different in softball at the same time. You know, that's kind of the things that we look at. But, you know, these kids these days, they're so resilient. I mean, they play a lot of travel ball, so it's just a different game and a different atmosphere that means just a little bit more. So, looking to see how they kind of handle their emotions there. But, you know, as far as what other people think, we don't really pay no attention to that. All we do is care about what's going on in the dugout and what's going on between the lines. And, you know, we'll let the people say whatever they want to say.
So, with that being said, Coach, what are some of your expectations for this year? What are you hoping to see out of this team on the field?
Al Davis, baby. Win. Just win, you know. I mean, I like where we're at. We're good behind the plate. We got a, you know, a junior catcher does a really good job defensively, so I expect her to lead her defense and us to play, you know, solid defense, making routine plays. But, you know, offensively is where we, you know, we make our money. I mean, over the years, traditionally, we've been able to score runs. And, you know, this is one of the most athletic teams that I've had in the past couple of years, you know, as far as, like, base running ability. So hopefully, you know, speed and, you know, making plays when we need to, and then, you know, getting key hits or two outs, runners in scoring position, you know, things that we do and we focus on. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, continue to be successful at those.
So for Coach, for those who don't know, and I'm really avoiding saying myself right now, obviously you also coach the girls' basketball team at DeKalb. What are some of the differences in coaching when you look at from basketball to softball? What are some of the main differences in coaching both sports?
Some of the differences, I guess, is that, you know, I mean, you can scheme in basketball, you know, and kind of hide players that, you know, maybe a good defensive player, you know, maybe not so well offensively. You ain't nowhere to hide on the softball field. I mean, if you're in the lineup 1 through 9, you're going to have to swing the stick. You know, somebody hits you a ball, there can't nobody help defense for you, you know, stop the drive. Ain't nobody helping you. You got to make the play, you know, so a lot of difference there, you know, as far as also mental. You know, basketball, you make a mistake, man, you got to flip the script right there. You know, you make a mistake in softball, and you may have to think about it 3 or 4 innings. So it kind of grinds on you in that point, in that situation. So there's a lot of different things, things that are the same. You know, we're just going to be extremely competitive, and we're going to try to compete every single play. You know, strategy-wise is, you know, a little bit different. Mental-wise, a little bit different. But, you know, as far as competitiveness, I mean, we're going to stay the same. We're going to try to compete, win every play. win every possession, win, you know, every throw, every warm-up. We're going to try to, you know, compete in all those areas.
Live from the Murphy Center as we await for the Upperman Bees to take the court in their game against Pearl Cone. Yesterday, the TSSAA voted to move the Blue Cross Bowl to Chattanooga as we sit down with board member Grant Swallows to learn more about their decision. Joining me now is TSSAA Board of Control member and Warren County School Superintendent Grant Swallows. Mr. Swallows, tell me, what went into deciding between Cookeville, Chattanooga? What were some of the key points that you guys looked at on the Board of Control in terms of how you made the final decision of where to host the 2021 and 2022 Blue Cross Bowl Championships?
Well, you know, it's always tough in situations like this. And, you know, the TSSAA board is made up of 12 representatives across the state. Of course, I represent our area. And so the Cookeville has done such a fantastic job of hosting for the last 12 years. And my hope was that it was going to continue to stay in Cookeville. But Chattanooga put together a very, very competitive bid. And, you know, sometimes that happens. Chattanooga's got maybe a few more resources when it comes to things in the downtown area in Chattanooga. And so it's one of those things that really, when you put it on paper, financially and really for the student athletes to have a great experience, I believe the board decided that Chattanooga had the best, most attractive offer. Obviously, the vote was 11-1. I'll let you guess who that one was, because I hate to see it leave Cookeville simply because of the great work the community and really the Upper Cumberland has done to embrace the state championships. You know, I mean, volunteers, and so I continued to try to carry that banner, but for the next 2 years, it's going to be in Chattanooga.
For you in particular, was there something that you really held on to from the presentations that this is what stuck out to you, this is what was ultimately going to be the deciding factor for your vote in particular?
Well, you know, I think there were some things that were talked about in terms of facilities and, you know, Chattanooga's got some brand-new field turf and, you know, Cookeville is Tennessee Tech's in the process of changing that out, and there were a few advertising things, and just, you know, not to get into the weeds of those things, but ultimately at the end of the day, I think that's one of the things that was attractive to the organization, and that's just the way it is in all competitive bids. Sometimes you put down what you can do, and the other group puts down what they can do, and whatever fits best is what ends up what happens. So, you know, I don't want to get into pointing fingers at anybody. I think it just was one of those things that the board felt like that they wanted to take a shot in Chattanooga for 2 years. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for Cookeville. I'm disappointed for our area and our region. But I want to point back to the fact that I don't think it was anything Cookeville did. Certainly it wasn't a negative. It was just that Chattanooga maybe put together a little more attractive offer.
Why should high school fans, why should they be, we'll say, excited about where it's going to be hosted, about this venue? Why should people be excited, in your opinion?
Well, you know, the Cookeville contingent delegation said that they have the experience of hosting, and that's true. And so I think for me, I'll be watching, is Chattanooga ready, and do they know what it takes to host a successful championship? You would have to look at their stadium and see that their facilities are further along than maybe where we are at Tennessee Tech right now. And the downtown experience in Chattanooga with restaurants and hotels close. And, you know, it's just it's a different atmosphere. And so ultimately, I think that's why the board thought, hey, let's give Chattanooga a shot to do that. And that was the decision it made.
Are there any ways you feel that this venue specifically will help to kind of add a new element of enjoyment and entertainment for fans and for even teams that come and maybe spend a day or two at the venue?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that's a valid question. I don't know that I certainly didn't have any issues with it in Cookeville, and no one spoke ill of Cookeville during the entire process. I think, again, you just got to point back to the fact that Chattanooga put together a very competitive offer, and sometimes that can lure people away. And, you know, I'm glad it's only 2 years. I hope the people in Cookeville, Tennessee Tech will come back in 2 years and make another competitive offer. And hopefully, you know, speaking selfishly, I would love to see it come back to Cookeville.